Hello, friends, and welcome to the very first episode of the Clone Conspiracy Podcast, where we try to get to the bottom of just what the fuck was going on with Spider-Man comics in the 1990s. I'm your host and guide on this fateful journey, Scott, or some of you unfortunately probably know from the internet, Scott Free or Mr. Scott Free. And I just want to thank you in advance for the monumental mistake of joining me on this journey through one of the most infamous stories in Marvel and general comics history, the Clone Saga, and the story of Ben Reilly and, to a lesser extent, Kane. So, where do we begin? You've probably noticed that this episode is titled Episode Zero as opposed to Episode One. 2 points about that. First, comics in the 90s were notorious for slipping an issue zero into runs, usually set before the main events of an ongoing book. They'd also do point ones, alpha and omegas, and so on. Think of, for example, the Age of Apocalypse storyline from the X-Men. The alternate universe, it begins with X-Men Alpha and ends with X-Men Omega. You get the point. It makes keeping track of numbering an absolute pain in the ass as a collector, so let me tell you. Between the issue zeros, the holofoil variants, and such, being a collector of 90s schlock comics is a choice and a chore, but you know, somebody's got to do it. But also on episode zero, I'm a huge D&D nerd. I know it's shocking that a comic book guy who is doing a podcast about Spider-Man also plays Dungeons & Dragons. A lot of Dungeon Masters, the guys who run D&D games, not the BDSM Dungeon Masters, although, trust me on this, there is a huge amount of overlap. A lot of Dungeon Masters run Session Zeros at the start of a new campaign. These serve as introductions to the campaign for the players, or in your case, the listeners, and it gives them a chance to get familiar with their characters and other players, and also lets the DM sort of lay out the setting and the story and the groundwork for how this is going to go forward. So, future episodes of the show are going to feature me speaking to a variety of guests from across the comics community. Readers, like yourselves, writers, artists, cosplayers, fellow podcasters, and so on. I already have a great slate of guests lined up. And these folks are going to come on and they're going to be chatting with me about the individual comics, or in some cases, short arcs. So we'll cover things like Maximum Clonage, which is a famous or infamous part of the Clone Saga, as well as Peter and Mary Jane's trip to Portland, and all these things. And it's going to be great. The episodes are going to be kept somewhat short. I'll keep them 15 to 20 minutes, because, you know, I want to give this to you in chunks, give you something to digest. Now, this session, our episode, Session Zero, I'm going to introduce the show to you and give you sort of a broad overview of where we're going. I'm also going to briefly go over the just why this is something that I'm spending time doing. Why am I doing a podcast on a now almost 30-year-old, actually it is 30 years old, this year's the 30th anniversary of the Clone Saga. Why am I doing this? And we're going to get there shortly. Yeah, why Ben Reilly? Why the Scarlet Spider? Why the sensational Spider-Man? Now, with apologies to my friends who are big fans of the X-Men's Madeline Pryor and Strife, Ben Reilly is by far the most famous clone in comics, and I would say arguably modern mass popular media. And also, as a queer reader and a Spider-Man fan, Ben's story and journey has always really resonated with me. Peter Parker's story fundamentally is about responsibility. With great power comes great responsibility. We all know that. Uncle Ben's dying words, and so on. I feel like if you're listening to a podcast about a C-list Spider-Man clone, although he's A-list in my heart, you probably know that. With great power comes great responsibility. Ben's story while the great power with great responsibility aspect is a huge part, because don't forget, he is a clone of Peter Parker. He has Peter's memories up to a certain point. So, for all intents and purposes, Ben believes, and in some ways was raised by both Uncle Ben and Aunt May. He has the same memories of childhood and the lesson that with great power, comes great responsibility. But Ben's story is, unlike Peter's, is about identity. It's about building your own identity and asserting your own autonomy. Ben is a perfect copy of Peter Parker, but he doesn't want to just be Peter Parker. He wants to be his own man. So much of Ben's journey is about Ben asserting his personhood and individuality in the face of being told who he is and who he has to be. So characters like the Jackal, Kane, Judas Traveler, and even Peter, they try to define Ben in their own ways. They try to put their spin on who Ben is, what Ben means to them. But he's Ben Reilly. He's the Scarlet Spider because he wants to be, because those identities are his. He claims the identity. He reclaims, in his view, the Spider-Man identity after Peter and Mary Jane go west. He becomes the Spectacular Spider-Man. It's his choice. No one else's. While Ben is, of course, historically a heterosexual character like most of the Spider-Man family, as a queer person and to a lot of queer readers, I believe the story really resonated, because the message is ultimately that you can be who you want to be on your own terms. It's never too late. So, the Clone Saga. In the early 1990s, Marvel published 4 monthly concurrent Spider-Man series. Amazing Spider-Man, which dated all the way back to 1963. That's the original Spider-Man book. After Spider-Man's debut in 1963's Amazing Fantasy 15, he quickly gets his own book, Amazing Spider-Man, which, in one form or another, with some renumberings, has continued to this day. Second book was The Spectacular Spider-Man. It's the second Spider-Man book, dating to 1976. Web of Spider-Man, which is the third book and the second spinoff, dating to 1985. And if you're a older comics nerd, that was the former Marvel Team-Up, which was a book that featured Spider-Man teaming up with various characters each issue. So, example, one issue would feature Spider-Man teaming up with a Thing, another issue would feature Spider-Man teaming up with Moon Knight or a Son of Satan. You get the point. It's renamed to Web of Spider-Man in 1985. And then finally, there's the Adjectiveless Spider-Man, dating to 1990. That parallels the publication of X-Men number 1, that's the Chris Claremont, Jim Lee book. Marvel goes out of its way in the early 90s to start to launch these adjectiveless titles. So while Amazing Spider-Man continues, and Web and Spectacular, you also get the adjectiveless Spider-Man, just as over on the X side of things, you also get the adjectiveless X-Men to accompany Uncanny. Beginning in 1993, Marvel also began to publish a quarterly Spider-Man book called Spider-Man Unlimited, as a sort of spiritual successor to the old giant-sized books of the 70s. It was also one of the first books to be published on glossy stock paper, which was unusual at the time when most Marvel and DC books were printed on newsprint. The glossy stock only really becomes the industry standard in the late 90s, but if you get your hands on some of the Spider-Man Unlimited comics or some of their X-Line parallels, X-Men Unlimited, they're really just beautiful books, like physically. The colors are really vibrant and pop in a way that a lot of other books pre-late 90s don't really. Anyway, so you have 4 monthlies and a quarterly. This was a lot of books, rivaled only at Marvel by the X-Men, or at DC, the Bat books, and these books have different writers, and they have artists on each book. And unlike the X-Books, the Spider-Man books focused not on a larger team, but focused instead only on Peter. While individual contained storylines had run through each book in the 70s and 80s, by the early 90s, events are often running through four or five of the books, requiring readers to pick up multiple titles if they wanted a resolution to a plot. So the Clone Saga. Here's where we start to get into the meat. The Clone Saga runs from October 1994 through December 1996, through all five books and a variety of minis that will pop up and we will discuss in depth as the show goes on. Include Web of Scarlet Spider, Amazing Scarlet Spider, Spectacular Scarlet Spider, and then a sixth ongoing, Sensational Spider-Man. It's a lot. It's a lot of material. There's literally four Marvel omnibuses of this. I'm looking at them right now on my bookshelf. There's two Clone Saga omnis and two Spider-Man Ben Reilly omnis. It's about 2,000 pages altogether, and for you X-Men heads, this roughly coincides time-wise with Legion Quest, then Age of Apocalypse, the lead-up to Onslaught, and then Onslaught. So it's a really interesting time at Marvel internally in terms of books that are being published, and it's an interesting time at Marvel financially because this also sort of coincides with Marvel's bust and the eventual Marvel bankruptcy in the late 90s. And again, we're going to get to this, but, you know, I'm just trying to tee up some of these themes. And the Clone Saga it's epic. It's an epic. And it has a reputation, for better or worse, for being very long. As I just discussed, it runs for 2 years through multiple titles and has given us about 2,000 pages worth of material. In short, Peter Parker's clone, going by Ben Reilly, appears in New York. He's been believed dead for years, dating out of universe to the 1970s, in universe roughly 5 years. Ben shows up in order to visit a seriously ill Aunt May. Peter and MJ's marriage is on the rocks as a grief-stricken Peter struggles with a series of blows to his personal life, including the apparent return of his parents, shock, they're not really back, Aunt May's failing health, and so on. Peter and Ben encounter each other. They fight. They both get roped into a crisis at Ravencroft, Spider-Man's equivalent of Arkham, when a really fucking annoying and confusing guy, who we are unfortunately going to spend a lot of time talking about, a man named Judas Traveler, appears and seizes control of the asylum. Ben starts to operate as a Scarlet Spider, Kane shows up out of nowhere, the second clone, MJ gets pregnant, turns out supposedly that Peter is actually the clone, not Ben. Peter and MJ move to Portland for plot reasons because it's the 90s and everything's happening in the Pacific Northwest. Grunge, get your flannel. And Ben starts to operate in his place as the Sensational Spider-Man at the sort of culmination of the Clone Saga. But then, shock, it turns out that Peter wasn't the clone, and yeah, it was Ben all along. And Norman Osborn, dead since 1973 at the very beginning of the clone shenanigans, is behind it all. Whoops. If that sounds convoluted and confusing as hell, well, that's because it is. And I'm not going to get into it here, but we will in the forthcoming individual episodes. But as I mentioned before, behind the scenes, this is a hugely volatile period at Marvel, and in the Spider Office in particular. The Spider Office and the X Offices were the two big cash cows of Marvel, and the biggest sort of driver of the sprawl and messiness of the Clone Saga is a huge, and I mean huge, amount of editorial and corporate meddling, leading to a huge amount of turnover of writing and artistic teams. While Terry Cavanaugh was the original writer, more than 10 other writers end up involved in what became Marvel's attempt to replicate the shock and success of DC's contemporaneous Nightfall and Death of Superman stories. Results varied. But, and you'll hate this phrase going forward because I'm going to say this a lot, how do we get here? And for that, I'm going to ask you to come back for our very next episode where we're going to talk about the original Clone Saga from the 70s and a guy named the Jackal. And we're going to go all the way back to 1973 for that. But I just want to thank you for giving this a listen, and I really look forward to going forward and exploring what is one of my favorite bits of Marvel history, and I really am so excited to get to expose this to a new generation of listeners and readers, and just bring you along to some of the both best and also worst comics of the 1990s. And yeah, I am, once again, Scott Free. Check us out on Instagram at the Clone Conspiracy Podcast, and also my personal page, Scott Free. And I will see you next time.